This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
It's not your imagination. More of the United States burned in recent decades, and more buildings too. Rising insurance rates tell the tale, if you can get insurance. This is no surprise in a hotter world, but as always, humans complicate the picture. Scientists are racing to grasp and predict wildfire threat. Let's get the facts. Amanda Carlson is lead author of the new study, Rising Rates of Wildfire Building Destruction in the Conterminous United States. Dr. Carlson is a physical research scientist with the Geosciences and Environmental Change Science Center. From Denver, Colorado, Amanda Carlson, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you for having me.
It seems like fires are more intense and going where they never go before. Is that just more media coverage, sensationalism, or has the American experience with fire been different in this young century?
Yeah, so a lot of research over the last several years have shown that wildfires are increasing, particularly in the northwestern U.S., and particularly in western forests. Our study looked at the rate of building destruction from wildfires and how that's changed from 2002 to 2022. So our main finding from the study was that the rate of destruction has significantly increased over the past two decades.
What I find strange about that is, and you say this in the paper, that global burned areas have decreased since the late 20th century. Why should we be concerned about wildfire impacts if burned areas are on the decline?
So it's not just a matter of how much area burns. So first of all, those global trends are a little bit complicated when you look at more regional trends. So as I mentioned earlier, we're not necessarily seeing increases in burned area across all of the U.S., but particularly in the western forested regions, we have been seeing significant increases. And it's also a matter of how wildfires behave, how intensely they burn, how quickly they spread.
Okay, so now this next is a huge subject, but could you introduce us to some of the ways climate change contributes to more wildfires or more damaging wildfires in the U.S.?
So in regions where we've had a lot of frequent fire in the past, like in the southwest United States, we have climates that are suited for wildfire, so not necessarily that we're getting more burned area, but we can get more extreme droughts, more extreme weather conditions that can result in more extreme fire behavior. And the data over the past few years has shown wildfires are spreading at faster rates and growing larger, burning at higher intensities. And then at the same time, in regions that are colder and wetter, where fires have historically been more limited by climate, we see a more frequent occurrence of conditions that can lead to large fires, and particularly in areas where you have a lot of fuels, like really dense forests, that can lead to really high-intensity fires.
Earlier reviews, like the 2022 study led by Matthew Jones of the UK Tyndall Centre, they talk about the role of fire weather. What is fire weather, and is that increasing?
So that's not something we looked at in the study, necessarily whether fire weather is increasing. But generally, the weather conditions that control how fires behave are a combination of long-term precipitation and drought. In some ecosystems, more precipitation can lead to more fuel buildup, which is true in drier regions like in California and the southwestern U.S. Drought can also affect the long-term fuel moisture, which can affect how easily fires ignite and how rapidly they spread, how intensely they burn. And then humidity and wind speed on the day of fire are also important factors determining how they behave.
A long-standing question raised by several studies, are damages increasing because more people move into fire-prone zones, and or has poor fire management contributed? Can your new study add more certainty about what is driven by social change and what by climate-induced forces?
Yeah, so we know that the wildland-urban interface is increasing in area. We know more home development compounds how many people are exposed to wildfires when they occur. So a combination of more fire, more intensely burning fires, and more people in the UI is definitely something that's exacerbating wildfire problem. However, a key finding of this study was that the increase in building destruction over the last two decades is not necessarily just because the number of buildings exposed to fires have increased. We actually found that the rate of destruction, or the number of buildings that are destroyed relative to each building that's exposed, is what's increased most dramatically. So that would potentially indicate that it's not so much a matter of building more into fire-prone areas as it is that the fires are just becoming harder to control and communities are becoming more vulnerable.
In two of the most costly fire zones, the Western United States and Eastern Australia, Aboriginal people say they previously used fire itself selectively as a management tool. Is there a case for applying more Aboriginal knowledge to growing fire threats? What are your thoughts?
I mean, definitely that's an area that is of growing interest. I think there's a growing recognition that these forests, these sagebrush ecosystems, shrubland ecosystems have been managed for a long time by indigenous fire, and there's definitely a need to apply more fire to the landscape, more treatments, both in terms of cultural burning, intentional prescribed fire, mechanical field treatments, and grazing and things like that. These are all things that can be effective in reducing hazardous fuel loads.
Well, we know one urban fire can leave ecological and human scars possibly for decades, and it seems fire is an event-driven driver rather than a gradual phenomenon like rising seas, but it seems some climate models don't handle quick, fast events that then disappear as well as they do averages of things. So are the models, in your opinion, keeping up with what's happening on the ground with wildfires?
I think models can give us an idea of the frequency of weather conditions that would lead to large extreme fires. Modeling individual fires is a very difficult process, though. There's a lot of randomness in terms of day of weather, where ignitions occur, and whether ignitions occur close to communities that are vulnerable.
Former Governor Ronald Reagan famously said fire season is now all year in California, and we know the length of fire season per se has increased. Is that because of climate change, and are you seeing that in your studies?
So a lot of the most destructive fires that we looked at in our data set have occurred outside of the fire season. So where I am in Colorado, we had the Marshall Fire, which occurred over New Year's in 2021. So that was definitely something that occurred outside of the typical fire season and was one of the most destructive events we've had in Colorado history. And that said, you can't necessarily attribute single weather events to climate change.
Los Angeles required basic fire protection around homes. They call it a defensible space. And there are things we can do. Do you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah, so one thing we plan to do with the data set we built, we're mapping locations of building loss. We want to be able to take a more detailed look at what spatial factors are influencing the probability of buildings surviving versus being destroyed. So defensible space, I think we know from individual case studies that that's been an important factor in the past, so we hope to gain a better understanding of that. Broadly speaking, in this study, we looked at types of vegetation, and we found that higher proportions of forest vegetation specifically contributed to higher likelihoods of destruction, so that could have potential implications for management.
So is wildfire just a worry for Americans living in the West? Because just recently we saw some fires in New Jersey, which were unexpected, one in New York City. What would we say to our Eastern listeners?
I'd say the occurrence of destructive fires is definitely less common in the East than in the West. However, one of the things we looked at in this study was how the vegetation affects the likelihood of destruction. And what we found in the few destructive fires we did see in the Eastern U.S. was that a lot of these communities are built with a lot of wildland urban interface and a lot of forest vegetation. So those events do have the potential to be highly destructive. And in fact, one of the most destructive fires that we mapped in our data set was the Chimney Tops fire in eastern Tennessee in 2016. So the combination of a lot of forest vegetation and a lot of populations living in proximity to forests does create the potential for really destructive events if you have the right weather conditions.
Your study period ended before the January 2025 urban fires in Los Angeles. Do you think that would fit in with what you found, or is that possibly something new?
Yeah, so that would have been pretty interesting to look at, because one of the main findings of this study was that one of the most important drivers for increasing rates of building destruction was the fact that more destructive fires have been occurring in forests, particularly in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. But at the same time, we did see that the majority of burned buildings destroyed by fire are in grassland and shrublands, like we saw in Los Angeles in the 2025 fires. And we saw the rate of destruction in those ecosystems increasing over time. So it's those dual factors, that fires in forests are more destructive and we're having more of them, but also that fires in grass and shrublands are becoming more destructive as well, driven by more extreme fire weather conditions. So I think looking at the Los Angeles fires would have probably highlighted that finding, that destruction rates are increasing in grass and shrublands as well.
Amanda, what are you working on these days?
I'm hoping to dive deeper into this data set we created, looking at more detailed models of risk and trying to understand factors that affect community vulnerability.
From the U.S. Geological Survey in Denver, our guest is Amanda Carlson. We discussed her new paper, Rising Rates of Wildfire Building Destruction in the Conterminous United States. Find links to the science and news we just talked about in my show blog, Wednesdays at ecoshock.org. Amanda, thank you for spending time with our listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the news from the now unnatural world. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Join us again next week.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.